Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We're not needed anymore, according to this administration.
Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 15, 2010. I'm Heather Hope. Two-day laborers are finally getting the wages they earned after years of court battles. Ariel Edwards-Levy has the story.
Day laborer Irman Aquino knew he was entitled to get paid for his work. But at times, he wasn't sure it would ever happen. He is one of the many victims of wage theft. It's a common plight for day laborers, who are often undocumented immigrants. They are among LA's most vulnerable workers, sometimes ending up with no paycheck and no options. Aquino and another man, Miguel Murcia, did some work for a landlord several years ago, but were never paid a dime. Even after they proved they were owed the wages in 2008, they received no money. Last week, a judge finally forced the landlord to start paying. Aquino, speaking through a translator, says the decision gives him faith in the legal system.
I doubted many times that the lawyers would be able to do anything or help. I don't think I won this victory by myself, but I really think it was all of you.
Those lawyers are part of the Wage Justice Center. Attorney Matthew Ciroli says the group regularly visits job centers to ensure the workers know their rights.
There's a lot of disbelief, I think, both among employers and among low-income, especially recent immigrant workers, that the legal system applies to them and that they will be protected.
Case manager Nady Dominguez says changing that attitude is key. She relates a recent conversation with one woman.
More and more, she realizes that people think it's okay to steal wages from workers like herself and also like the day laborers because maybe of their immigration status. But she said, "Now I know now that we have rights, no matter what. You know, I want to make sure my children grow up knowing that as well."
The two workers have already received $2,000 of their promised payment. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
The Board of Water and Power will meet tonight to again consider raising electricity rates. The special meeting comes just a day after Mayor Villaraigosa threw his support behind the City Council's recommendation to raise rates no more than 4.6% over a three-month period. The DWP and City Council have clashed over the rate hike. The DWP Water Board wants a 5.7 rate hike instead. The City Council says that increase is too high during an economic recession. More than a dozen gathered outside of Los Angeles City Hall to oppose a National Socialist Movement rally scheduled for this Saturday. Neela Jamie has a story.
There was no chanting, yelling, or violent outbursts at this rally. People were simply standing at City Hall's South Lawn, quietly holding signs that read, "No free speech for fascists," but emotions were still running high.
These white racist Nazis plan to exterminate all black people for the corrupt capitalist U.S. government.
The new Black Panthers, women's rights groups, and other civil liberty organizations joined together to speak out against the largest white supremacist group in the country. Age Patterson is a member of the Coalition to Stop Police Brutality. He says he can't believe the city is giving a platform to the neo-Nazi group.
I know there's rules and such about free speech, but it's interesting how people who spread extreme hate and are known to cause, you know, extreme harassment, brutality, and even murder are allowed to come in and flaunt this disgusting hatred.
Will they be actually physically assaulting people out here on Saturday? No, probably not.
Adam Lerman is with the Women's Rights Coalition.
But Hitler did not necessarily go out and assault people when he was starting his movement.
The National Socialist Movement has called people from all over the country to join the rally on Saturday. Charles Wilson is the captain of the storm troops for the group. He says they'll be protesting illegal immigration.
Where, you know, California is letting all the illegal immigrants come over the border illegally. We're going to come there to protest.
Wilson says his group gets about 12 to 15 new applications from Southern California each day. He says people are waking up to fight for white rights.
It's okay for people to wear Black Power shirts and Brown Pride shirts, but the second I wear a swastika or a white pride shirt, I'm in the wrong.
Ben Royal, a member of a women's rights coalition, says free speech is only a cover.
The issue is, do they have the right to organize a new Holocaust? Do they have the right to organize for racist genocide, beatings, lynchings, and murder? And to that, I say absolutely not.
But not everyone at the City Hall rally was there to protest against the group's First Amendment rights. Freedom Socialist Party member Luma Nichols says she's not calling for the neo-Nazis' permit to be revoked.
If we did that, then the next time we wanted to speak as socialists, the city could rescind our permit. What we think is much, much more effective is to render their rally useless by us having thousands of very loud and noisy people out there.
The National Socialist Movement rally is scheduled for Saturday at City Hall. Neela Jamie, Annenberg Radio News.
A $50,000 reward was offered today for the driver who ran over 59-year-old grandpa. Carlos Perez was walking to work in the produce district 2 weeks ago when the fatal accident occurred. He leaves behind his wife of 34 years and three grown children. The vehicle involved is likely a 2005 or 2006 dark-colored Infiniti G35 four-door sedan with tinted windows. It likely has damage to the windshield or front fender. A South Los Angeles intersections was dedicated today in memorial of a local public activist. As Amina Karam reports, 9th District Councilwoman Jan Perry was there to honor Ezekiel Mobley Jr.
Before we actually unveil the street sign, I want to present this keepsake, which memorializes this day, to Ezekiel's mother.
Aura Mobley Sweeting pulled a rope at the corner of 43rd Place and Central Avenue to unveil a plaque honoring her son. Ezekiel Mobley Jr., who died in June 2006, was a respected community leader. Councilwoman Jan Perry said he dedicated his life to connecting African American and Central and South American communities.
He saw beyond culture and color lines, lifting up the curtain and showing all of us that we are all people united by commonalities. I felt his life and his commitment to unity should be memorialized here on our historic Central Avenue, a place steeped in history and a place that embodies our diversity and our desire to be a unified community.
Mobley was well educated, graduating from Georgetown University Law Center and the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He served as a member of various economic development groups. He learned Spanish and joined the Latin American Cultural Union. He was also the first African American to have a syndicated television show completely in Spanish. Mobley suffered a stroke 10 years ago. He was only 53 years old when he passed away. His sister, Candida Mobley, said his kindness, humility, and genuine love for the community belied his accomplishments and credentials. She says the memorial is a fitting tribute to him.
God will be the one to tell us it's over, and it's not over until God says it's over. And for Ezekiel, because of this, it will never, ever, ever be over.
The intersection of 43rd Place and Central Avenue will now also be known as Ezekiel Mobley Jr. Square. Amina Karam, Annenberg Radio News.
After an embarrassing audit revealed that the Los Angeles Fire Department cost taxpayers millions in lawsuits, fire officials are vowing to reform. But that's a promise the city has heard before. Due to ambiguous punishment guidelines and a lack of proper investigation, fire department employees opened the city up to legal liability for racial discrimination and harassment. For more than 15 years, city officials have made similar accusations, but the audit released Tuesday shows more of the same bad behavior. The audit cites numerous uses of racial slurs toward Jewish and Black employees, workplace violence, and failure to investigate a paramedic caught with a prostitute. It's National Robotics Week, and USC's Viterbi School of Engineering is showcasing robots made by students. We sent Liz Warden, and she'll tell us about one of those robots.
They can move, talk, and sense their surroundings, but they're not humans.
They're robots with a controlled mind of their own. And today, children, community members, and students came out to the USC's robotic open house to learn more about just how these creatures operate. Among many wide-eyed spectators, engineering students explained their projects, like Murnau Kalakrishan. He is one of the five students who worked on the project Little Dog, a small robot with jointed legs that can navigate and cross challenging terrain.
For example, in disaster recovery situations where a building, falls to the ground because of an earthquake or something else. And this is, a typical example of rough terrain, and there are people trapped inside.
Murnau and his team were responsible for the intelligence and programming of the robot, which was assembled by the engineering company Boston Dynamics. The company has also made a larger version of Little Dog, known as Big Dog. Although Little Dog isn't ready to be released just yet, the engineering team says they hope this type of technology can help in rescue situations. It's just one of the robots that underscores the reason for the conference, to build technology for the greater good. Liz Warden, Annenberg Radio News.
Now for the weather. Tonight will be a little cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s, but keep your jacket out for tomorrow as we'll have highs in the 60s and 70s, and the same for the weekend. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk to a minister who's helping organize a movement against tea partiers. Thousands of seniors and people with disabilities can now get their Social Security benefits back. Jenna Zhuang reports that ethnic groups were disproportionately affected when the Social Security Administration cut off their money.
In 1996, Congress passed a law saying those fleeing prosecution could not receive Social Security benefits. Anyone whose name appeared on an arrest warrant was denied benefits. This law affected nearly a quarter of a million people, taking away the money they desperately needed. Legal aides say the warrants often included traffic or other minor infractions. The crime didn't seem to fit the punishment, said Ryan Bradley, an attorney with the Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles.
They clearly weren't fleeing, and they weren't able to resolve these warrants because they had an arrest warrant against them in another state. And they weren't able to resolve them because they were, weren't in that state any longer. And in many cases, they didn't even know the charges had been filed.
Rosa Martinez's benefits were cut off over a case of mistaken identity. She lives in California. Martinez was told she was no longer eligible for disability benefits because she was wanted on a drug charge in Miami. But Martinez has never even been to Florida, and the physical description didn't match either.
We have actually the information from the Miami-Dade County Criminal Justice Information System, and it shows an 8-inch difference in height. The woman in Miami was 8 inches taller, it should be obvious that Rosa is not very tall.
The petite Rosa helped lead a class action suit against the Social Security Administration. Rosa said she did it so others could get their benefits back as well. The SSA settled the class action suit, making sure everyone with a warrant could still receive their benefits, unless the warrant was for escape or flight.
Thanks to God, I'm here putting this war out for all those people who has been mistaken, or for some reason their benefits have been taken away from them, that they should go back to the SSA and claim their benefits if they are.
Now, the Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles is trying to get the word out to the 7,000 people in L.A. County that they may be eligible for restitution. The problem is that when they lost their benefits, many lost their homes and now have no permanent address. Reporting for Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jenna Zhuang.
The Tea Party was out in full force on this tax day, but others came out with a different message. Earlier, I spoke to Reverend Susan Russell of the All Saints Church in Pasadena, who told me what her faith-based group did when they saw the protests.
Watching the rhetoric escalate around the Tea Party event, we sort of came together and thought, okay, it's time for us to sort of go public. So today was an opportunity for us to stand up and say, we're American patriots too, and we have core faith and American values that are about liberty and justice and equality, not about violent division and polarization.
In light of that, what do you see as the Tea Partiers' main goal?
To let traditional American values be hijacked by fear-based reactionaries trying to replace life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness with guns, hate speech, and the pursuit of writing their religion into the Constitution.
The New York Times had a profile about the Tea Partiers today, and it was saying that most of them were really financially stable and well-educated and angry. So what do you think they represent for today's American political climate?
I think what you're seeing, and thanks to the New York Times for sort of outing it, the rhetoric we see and the face of the Tea Party movement at the rallies do not come across, frankly, as well-educated and informed. So I think the energy behind the Tea Party movement is about, it's a classist issue. It's a small percentage of people of white privilege who want to maintain that and are not really interested in liberty and justice for all. They're interested in power and privilege for some.
Lastly, what do you see the Tea Party effect being on the midterm elections?
The Tea Party folks are overplaying their hand, and I have really deep respect for broad-based American voter to really look at what's going on here. And when you see rallies with signs that are racist and violent, I think that it pushes people away from that kind of rhetoric. There's a part of me that says, you know, give them a bigger microphone. You know, let's hear what they really have to say. You know, are there things in this country that need fixing? Absolutely. But we need to find ways to fix them together.
That was Reverend Susan Russell. And in a moment, you'll hear from other Tea Party protesters. Several dozen people rallied at the Torrance Civic Center today, hitting the streets with their message.
Several dozen people rallied at the Torrance Center, Civic Center today, hitting the streets with a message. For the last year, the Tea Partiers have been gaining ground on a simple platform. Government is too big, and on this tax day, they're telling Uncle Sam to keep his hand out of their pockets.
I mean, look at us. We're pissed off. We're pissed off Americans. We're out here trying to tell you that we don't want this stuff, yet you're doing it anyway.
While Tea Partiers don't have a central political leadership, they are boosting efforts to support politicians who share their small government message.
Yeah, you know, I do not like how the taxes are going right now, and I'm a college student, and times are tough, and they shouldn't be getting more taxes. It's ridiculous.
And if you could say one thing to President Obama and the current administration, what would you tell them?
What can I tell an idiot? The guy's an amateur. He doesn't know what he's doing.
One of those politicians is Andrew Sharp. He's running for Congressional District 51 in upcoming midterm elections. Sharp is a Republican, but he supports the Tea Party's conservative ideals.
I'm going to work to make Washington accountable. I'm going to work to reduce our outrageous national debt. That is what is drowning our nation. Any of the good works they claim to be doing are just going to hurt us in the long run. The Wall Street bailouts, this national health care that they're going to spend a lot of money on.
These Southern California Tea Partiers say that they're different from other Tea Party groups, such as the Teabaggers. They say their name stands for Taxed Enough Already. A New York Times CBS poll released this week surveyed Tea Partiers and found that most are white upper class and better educated than the average American. Damian McDell was part of the rally today in Torrance. He doesn't exactly fit the mold.
What we're saying is if we're going to be taxed, it needs to be for things that is for good uses, such as military, police force, firefighters, fixing the roads, not for bailing out failed businesses due to bad decisions.
Veterans and senior citizens were also part of the group. They hope rallies like these push out Democrats and Republicans that don't support their conservative ideals and that grassroots efforts will bring new blood to Washington. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
And now we'll hear from Kate Cagle to hear what's coming up on Trojan Vision for ATVN at 6 p.m.
Thanks, Heather. Well, you've heard plenty of stories about those Tea Party protesters, but if you're racing down the deadline, you can tune in to ATVN for some last-minute tax tips and where you can get help up until that last-minute deadline at midnight. Also, we'll have more on that European volcanic eruption that's causing delays across Europe and here at LAX.
Hey, great. Well, thanks so much, Kate.
Yeah.
Well, that was it for us today. Thank you for joining us for Annenberg Radio News. For all of us here, I'm Heather Hope.